Welcome back, everyone, to another episode of Nerd to an End Movie Podcast. I am your host, Nerdpool Prime. Thank you again for joining me. If you're listening to this on YouTube, iHeart, Spotify, hopefully soon Apple, or anywhere you listen to your podcast, please do me a favor, like, share, subscribe, do all that good stuff for the algorithms, because I do great nerdy content all day, every day on my Instagram accounts, but I do a weekly podcast, and if you like Marvel, DC, anything nerdy really, I'm the place to go. So, that being said, we're going to talk about Spider-Man No Way Home. Now, at the time of this recording, the 48-hour spoiler ban has been lifted, so I can talk freely, and I will. And for the record, that spoiler ban is my spoiler ban. I don't care what anyone else does. I not only had the ability to spoil the entire movie, I chose not to, first of all, but I saw and had the ability to see the final fight scene and two huge reveals the morning before it was released. It was released Thursday officially to the United States and other places. Wednesday morning, I could have watched 90% of the movie. That's absolutely disgusting. And I don't think that that's fair to not only all the people who want to see it, but to the people who made these movies. You're leaking their work, their prized position. Could you imagine working on a title like Spider-Man No Way Home? And, you know, you've had all this information, you could have spoiled it any day, and the fact that you didn't made the build-up be so good, and then these jerk-offs decide to spoil it the morning before. And, you know, I feel like they need to do a crackdown, because the only people that could have seen that were people impressed and people at the premieres and things of that nature. So, hey, someone needs to step in their game. The Disney snipers need to really get on their game, because it's absolutely unacceptable, in my opinion. But that being said, I'm still going to throw out the spoiler warning right here. If you have not seen Spider-Man No Way Home, no worries. You can just come back whenever you've seen it and re-listen to this and hear everything you got to say about it. So if everyone's still here, 3, 2, 1. Holy crap. How good was Spider-Man No Way Home? It was, oh man. So I have an honest opinion about Spider-Man No Way Home. Most of it was pointless. I mean, in the grand scheme of things, being able to reverse or counteract whatever the villain's powers were or anything like that, for the most part, if they're sent back to their reality at the time of when they were taken prior to their deaths, they're going right back and going to die. So all Spider-Man really proved was, that they could cure them. They should have done that, you know, before they killed them. But that is my biggest complaint. The acting, especially from Tom Holland, was just phenomenal. His wide range of youthful optimism and then that brutish seriousness that he had towards the end of the movie was something to behold. It was really impressive, the range he went through in this movie. That being said, I do like the little trick they put in the trailer. Wong never told him not to do that spell. He just said, leave me out of it. There was no wink. That was all for the trailer. That shit's insane. They got us again. Definitely not Mephisto. One of these days, we're going to get Mephisto, and Eric Voss from New Rockstars is going to lose his mind. I bet you that'd be the one time he doesn't predict it correctly. Okay, so, of course, all the villains were done as good as they could have been. I did like that they did add like a more purple to the Green Goblin, giving a more classic look. Obviously, the upgrade from a blue Electro to the Jamie Foxx one that we got in this movie was fantastic. I did like Flint, Marco, the Sandman. That was, I like how initially, immediately was, I'm going to help Peter. Doesn't realize it's not even his Peter. What do you mean, not my Peter? What's going on? Like, I did love especially the witty banter between the villains while they were locked up in Strange's dungeon. It was really, and not for nothing, but when we saw the trailer, we were all under the assumption that what we were seeing with the Strange and Peter Parker fight was like them breaking reality, when in all actuality it was the mirror dimension. And man, okay, now here's my official complaint about Spider-Man No Way Home. Spider-Man said math is fun. No, it's not. But I did like how they showed in this one just how smart he actually is. Because, you know, in the comics, Spider-Man is one of the smartest people in the comics. So when he, while yes, he did show numerous different situations where he was intelligent, that intelligence for me was more on Parker's level of what I expect from a smart Peter. Now, that being said, of course, they did a fantastic job, especially now. The biggest reaction in my theater was the Daredevil scene, the Charlie Cox. All the reveals, even the later ones with Toby and Andrew, it still didn't, that first scene with when he just starts talking, they threw that at us right at the beginning, did not expect that. And then when the brick came through the window, he just grabbed it and he's like, yeah, I'm just a good lawyer. Like, it definitely linked that up with Hawkeye and the fact that Kingpin has been name dropped officially. And then if you haven't seen the preview for the season finale of Hawkeye, they show someone in a white suit walking with a cane. So obviously that's Wilson Fisk. And it is Vincent D'Onofrio. His name was in the credits. So obviously he is playing Kingpin. So there's no worry there. But obviously Daredevil is 100% in the MCU at this point. Not only that, but he is also already shown to be Daredevil at that point. He may not have been in the Daredevil costume, but he was definitely Daredevil with his powers. I mean, that they did that on purpose to show that. The great part with the villains and Willem Dafoe, when he first showed up and he had that argument with himself, he broke his mask. That was another big, awesome moment. You really did think at that point that maybe he was turning good. I did postulate there were going to be two versions of the Green Goblin. Obviously, that wasn't the case, technically. I mean, there was two versions of the Green Goblin in the same body. That's not what I thought. And, of course, we did finally confirm, obviously, Toby and Andrew were in the movie. And all those trailer mess-ups, obviously, was because they didn't do a good enough job with the CGI and editing. But, yeah, so we got to see a lot of awesome things in this, you know, when he opened that portal and you saw that it was someone in a spider suit, you knew immediately that's not Tom. And when Andrew came through and pulled off his mask and the place erupted. Like, like I said, the Charlie Cox part was, I think, the biggest reaction in my theater, like I said, because it came out of nowhere. Did not expect to see that, and especially with that brick part. I never in a million years I thought that was going to happen. So, but then when he tried to open another one, and then here comes Tobey Maguire, old Toby. It kind of felt like validation for all these years of watching all these movies, like, because now technically they just canonized the other Spider-Man universes as alternate realities that are in existence in the multiverse, in the new MCU multiverse. We can now confirm that. So technically that means that the first Spider-Man Raimi movie was the first MCU movie, technically. If you're obviously not from a production standpoint, but from a movie canon timeline, that's the first one. So to have all, and like, they were all so individual, they kept their personalities. They weren't just duplicates of each other. They were three different Peter Parkers and in three different stages of their lives. You had the younger one, Peter, who the Tom Holland, who was obviously the youngest. And then you had Andrew Garfield, who was, when we last saw him, he was in college. And then you had now old Tobey Maguire. It kind of showed the true, like, grand range of Spider-Man movies that they could potentially do now. I mean, what's to stop them now from doing a Spider-Man with Andrew Garfield? Why can't Andrew Garfield be the Spider-Man of the Venomverse? And we'll talk about that, the post-credit scene, in a little bit about Venom. And again, looks like I was right again. But the individual, I mean, you have so many different routes. And I would bet you that we see them appear again. This is not the last time we've seen Tobey Maguire and Andrew Garfield in, as Spider-Man. Whether or not they'll get their own movies, that I don't know. But I've got a feeling that they're going to be doing a true, like, Spider-Verse movie or trilogy or something along those lines. And that would be epic. Because that way you can literally take him out of the current conflicts of the MCU and have him do his own super ridiculous adventure. And I talked about this with the One True Nerd King. He actually came on my Instagram, Marvel2K21, and we talked about how I feel like the way that they're doing this, it's going towards Secret Wars, and it's going towards, like, all these things crossing. Now, Spider-Man No Way Home clearly happens during the same time as Hawkeye. So that being said, it is a very legitimate possibility that Spider-Man is seen or mentioned somehow in the season finale of Hawkeye. So with all of this, we now have one of the best Marvel movies to date. I want to see it a few more times before I give it an official ranking, but right now for me, it's top five, no question. It's more probably top three. I still think the best movie so far was, hands down, Winter Soldier. The storytelling that they did in that movie is far superior to any of the other films in the MCU, in my opinion. And I have said that numerous times. It may not be the most entertaining or the most fun, but it is the best. Like, that's the difference between Infinity War and Avengers Endgame. Avengers Endgame was a far more entertaining and fun and amazing movie. However, when you look at it from a filmmaking standpoint, Infinity War was leaps and bounds better than Endgame. The story was so much better in the Infinity War movie than it was in Endgame. While Endgame was fun, the time traveling and everything was great, it wasn't as good when you look at it from a film standpoint. But like I said, the biggest issues I had about the movie was that it a lot of the cool things they did when they, you know, the Spider-Man teamed up to create the antidotes and all those things, and it honestly didn't seem to really, like, for me, it didn't matter, because if they're going back to their own home worlds, they're going to die anyways. Like, whether or not they're a villain doesn't change the fact that they would have gone back to the exact moment they were taken before they died. I mean, now, we don't know that for sure when it comes to some of them, but, like, for instance, when Electro died, he literally thought he had blown up, and then he appeared in this universe. Doc Ock, he was fighting Spider-Man and then this universe. So either way, he goes back. Even if he goes, hey, Peter, I'm fine. He's probably still going to die. He's got the exploding star behind him. Are you going to try to tell me that he's not going to, that Goblin would have not still happened? Like, I feel like it would change too many things, even if they succeeded. So it was kind of redundant. But the final fight with all three of the Spider-Man was amazing. I did love like the witty banter between all three of them. And I love how Garfield literally was like, yeah, I'm number three. I get it. Like, he knows he's like the quote unquote worst of them, but I disagree on that note, but I'm not even going to get into that because my opinions on who the best Spider-Man is has gotten me a lot of flack in the past because I don't really like Tobey Maguire, to be honest with you. That movie came out when I was in high school, and not a single character in that movie looked like they were in high school. I'm sorry. It wasn't believable. It was not believable that they were all in high school. I didn't buy it for a second. And then, you know, we can have this conversation now. Who's the best Spider-Man? And for me, it's Tom Holland. And the reason why I say that is because my biggest complaint about Tom Holland was that everyone knew he was Spider-Man. In the comics, Spider-Man doesn't even tell the Avengers who he is. Like, there are very, very few people who actually knew who Spider-Man was on the 616 Earth. In other universes, they may have known him, but in the main time, on the main continuity, he kept his identity secret from almost everyone, including most of the Avengers. So it always bothered me that he was like, hi, I'm Peter. Like, that bothered me a lot because that was one thing that was like, eh, I don't know. I don't know about that. But now, after the spell fixes everything to where no one knows that he is Spider-Man, he was able to become the Spider-Man that I want. Especially with that suit at the end. Oh my God, he did it himself. It's so good. It definitely looked more closer to the comic book or even like the animated inspired costume, which is great. Now, with all that being said, I also love the absolute brutality. And Tom Holland had mentioned this prior to the movie. He said, this is not the Spider-Man you guys are used to. It's going to be some dark, angry, like violent moments. And he almost killed Norman. And I saw this on somebody's post. I honestly don't know who it is. And I do apologize. I'm not trying to steal it. It wasn't my idea, this. But I do think they did miss an opportunity to have some interaction between Tobey Maguire and Willem Dafoe, besides him just stabbing him in the back. But, you know, overall, I was really impressed. I like that they did hint at, you know, I saw what looked like Kraven, Rhino, because apparently Rhino's getting a spinoff, which makes no sense to me. Not a character I think could lead a TV show, but or a movie, for that matter. But, you know, obviously, no Miles, but they did make a nice little note to it. I liked that Jamie Foxx said, I just figured you were black. Like, you were always helping people. I just figured you were black. Maybe somewhere there is a black Spider-Man. There is. Miles Morales, he is underway. Okay. So, movie resolved. Great film, start to finish. Like I said, I had a little bit of a drawback. I would give it an 8.5, almost, or a 9 out of 10. I have to watch it again to really grade it better, because I was just so caught up in the awe of it that I don't want to make the same mistake I did with Rise of Skywalker. Was it Rise of Skywalker? Well, the second one in the trilogy, then in the sequel trilogy. I can't remember which one it was. Yeah, Rise of the Jedi was the last. No. Rise of the Jedi. What was that second movie? Whatever one it was. It was the second movie in the sequel trilogy. The Rian Johnson movie. Excuse me. And first time I saw it, I was like, wow, that is the best Star Wars movie I've ever seen. watched it the second time, I was like, yeah, no, it's not. Like, I was just so caught up in the awe of it that I thought it was better than it was. And I don't want to make the same mistake with the Spider-Man movie, even though I think my grade is rather on point with what I've been seeing from a lot of people and hearing from a lot of people. So we're going to take a quick little break here. And when I come back, we're going to talk about the post-credit scenes and explain them and tell you why, once again, it looks like your boy Nerdpool was right. Stay tuned. Welcome back. Okay, so post-credit scene number one from Spider-Man No Way Home was, of course, Venom in a bar with Eddie Brock with Venom in his ear at a bar learning about the Avengers. Now, the big thing about this that is so, so, so important is that the reason why these people were brought to this realm, to this universe, because they knew Peter Parker was Spider-Man. Quick question. Has Eddie Brock ever, in the Venom movie, met Spider-Man? Or know that Spider-Man is Peter Parker? No, because that's not a thing in his universe. However, the post-credit scene of Venom, Venom was talking about a hive mind that spans across universes. Therefore, with the inclusion of Tobey Maguire being from an alternate universe, it is safe to say that Venom has the understanding of who Peter Parker and Spider-Man are. And that's why when he saw that clip in the Venom post-credit scene, that he jumped up, turned into Venom, immediately licked the screen and was like, him. Because Venom knows. So what does that mean? Well, that means, my friends, that once again, I called something, and I hope you all got the Venom number threes, because I'm hunting them down right now, trying to get as many as I can, because Null is coming. I said this for, I've been saying this since Null came into the comics, that he was put there specifically to show up in the Marvel Universe. I feel like he is definitely coming without question 100%. And this all ties in to Thor, Love, and Thunder. Because, as I've spoken before, Gore the God Butcher is going to be in Thor 4, Love, and Thunder. Gore's weapon is All Black the Necro Sword. A weapon created by Null that is used to kill gods. Used it to kill Celestials, if I'm not mistaken. So if Gore shows up in Thor 4 and he has All Black, I'd be saying that alone is enough that Null is in existence in the MCU. We just haven't seen him yet. Now this, because the biggest thing is, and I want to say this again, the only reason why Venom was in the MCU is because Venom knew Peter Parker was Spider-Man. And I did like how they flipped and, you know, we got him in the MCU. No, we don't. But then a little piece of Venom stayed. Now, I'll talk about that in a second, but I want to go back to Null. So, my new theory is that the reason why Gore the God Butcher is showing up in Thor 4 is because Null now has the hive mind understanding and knowledge of the Avengers and wants to take them out and or make them his little toys. Because in the comics, he kind of like took over a whole bunch of people and just gave them sick powers, symbiote powers, and just said, have fun. So I'm saying that now, because Venom was told about all the Avengers, Null sent Gore to disrupt them or stop them or whatever. He sent Gore. And that's how eventually we're going to lead into Null being in the MCU and being a major threat. I feel like Null may end up being like a Secret Wars adjacent type thing. I feel like the main goal for Sony, at least, is to get Tom Hardy in the MCU, like legit in the MCU, in order to have him cross with Tom Holland. Now, Tom Holland can go wherever he wants. I mean, this is a multiverse now, and if he could definitely find a way to alternate universes. Not saying that's not possible, but Sony wants Venom in the MCU. So I could totally see a, down the line, a King in Black storyline. Might be the King in Black trilogy, where they make three movies where Null just comes down and wrecks shit. And basically takes over, and leading to Spider-Man and Venom teaming up along with the other Avengers and stuff like that to take him down. And I definitely think that's something that's on the horizon. Now, I'm going to do a lot more research because I can't give an answer for this right now. That little piece of the symbiote that was left, I feel like it could just latch onto that bartender. That bartender was the actor who played in Ted Lasso. I have not been able to find the symbiote that I think that he might become. So I'm not going to comment on what that might happen. Or honestly, it might just go to Flash somehow. Flash in the comics becomes Agent Venom. And I think that'd be really cool to have an Agent Venom and a Venom. I think that'd be absolutely fantastic. I don't know if the actor that they have for Flash currently can pull it off, but we'll find out that down the road. Or it could just find its way to Peter, and we can have a whole black suit Spider-Man thing. And I think that would be cool if they do that, because then they can have it cross over with the wow. I mentioned him earlier in the episode. I can't even think of his name all of a sudden. The Hunter. Wow. That is upsetting. Kraven. Wow. There we go. Kraven, the Hunter. How can he have a solo movie if he isn't going after Spider-Man? Or at least that's the goal. Like, maybe the Kraven movie is his origin, and then the final thing is I'm going to get Spider-Man. Like, because without that, who cares about Kraven? Seriously, all he really is like a really good hunter. That's really all he is when you boil it down to what he is. So without a Spider-Man, who gives a crap? Like, he's not a Venom that can stand alone. He's not even like Morbius. I think Morbius is going to shock a lot of people. I think it's going to be fantastic. And they're going to be like, wow, we need that in the MCU. And of course, if Sony is smart, they're not just going to try to get Spider-Man and Venom together. How about Blade and freaking Morbius? Huh? That'd be amazing. Can you imagine Blade trying to hunt down Morbius? Whew, that'd be amazing. But now on to the second post-credit scene. Doctor Strange 2, Multiverse of Madness, official trailer. Wow. Start off, it looks like they're really trying to paint Scarlet Witch as a hero right now in this. I think she will start with all the best intentions, and then in trying to help Doctor Strange, she has her own agenda, obviously to get her kids, because that's what she wants more than anything at this point. Now, there have been a lot of leaked quote-unquote storyboards from it that show like Wanda fighting Professor X. Now, maybe it's a dark Professor X, but I've theorized and postulated that the villain that we have, which obviously I thought was Shuma Gorath, it does not look like it's going to be Shuma Gorath anymore, which is killing me because I feel like it fits so well. And I still want to kind of stick to it. I'm not saying it's not Shuma Gorath, but in the trailer it showed this monster that resembled Shuma Gorath, but it's the this water monster that we saw in the toy leaks. But biggest thing we learned is that Doctor Strange is not the Sorcerer Supreme anymore. That's Wong. And in this movie, it looks like Wong is already like held captive, and Doctor Strange is trying to fix everything. We got our first shot at America Chavez, which is a character that if you don't know who America Chavez is, you're going to be very, very surprised. Amazing character. I cannot wait. I mean, this chick punches star-shaped holes and can travel the multiverse. Ding, ding, ding. I'm in. That being said, we got Wanda. And now, oh my God, when Baron Mordo showed up with the Dark Strange, I was like, yes. And did you notice, I skipped over it a little bit, but the what was happening to the buildings and things like that looked a lot like the What If episode. Maybe they're tied. Maybe there'll be multiple Doctor Stranges show up, not just two. But that Doctor Strange we saw is not, in my opinion, the Sorcerer Supreme, whatever he called himself, the one that was in What If, because he looked more sinister, more evil. I think that might be Necromancer. Which is a, it is a alternate version of Doctor Strange that teamed up with him in the Infinity Crusade with Agatha Harkness, Brother Voodoo, and Wanda. So I feel like that's another possible thing we're going to see. And I've been trying to tell people about that book forever. They're not too expensive right now. It's impressive what they're doing right now, this grand scope of this story that they're trying to tell over these multiversal movies. It's not easy doing that. To be able to make everything work together in a multiverse like that is rather brave, and we'll see if they can pull it off. I think they're going to do it. It looks good. I have much faith in Sam Raimi, and I sure hope that Tobey Maguire shows up just for the hell of it, because that'd be pretty cool. So, Spider-Man No Way Home was an unbelievable spectacle. I'm so glad I went and saw it opening night, and I definitely want to see it again as soon as humanly possible. To the point where, now that I've seen it, I almost want to go watch all those scenes again on YouTube, because all the leaked scenes are still up there, but I don't know if I can do that. So, next week is going to be another big week. We're going to have the season finale of Hawkeye. And with the season finale of Hawkeye, we're going to get Kingpin. We just got Matt Murdock in Spider-Man No Way Home. And then we're going to get Kingpin officially. Like, we've only seen a picture of him. He's not been on screen yet. So he is going to be on screen this week. And, you know, could you imagine if Spider-Man showed up in freaking Hawkeye? Or Daredevil? Oh my God. Could you imagine if Daredevil just showed up out of nowhere, punched Kingpin in the face? What? That'd be amazing. Oh man. The future of the MCU is very bright, and I cannot wait to see what they're going to do with it. But that's it for this week. Thank you again, all of my Nerdtween faithful. If you made it this far in the video at 33 minutes, I can do nothing but applaud you. And happy that I was able to give you 33 minutes of enjoyment. That sounded dirty. But until next week, this is Nerdpool Prime signing off.